Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, The Nature of Grace. Grace is undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor of God. Grace is all God's doing, and therefore all the glory belongs to Him and Him alone. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:36. The true gospel is above all the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24. Grace and works are mutually exclusive, Romans 11:6. But grace works in harmony with faith, Romans 4:16 says, quote, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Grace must be received, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Grace does not negate the reality of human response or human responsibility. There is mystery tension regarding God's sovereignty and human responsibility in salvation, but at the end of the day, all the glory goes to God alone, because salvation is totally of the Lord. Saved by the grace of Christ's cross work. God's grace stands against all the religions of the world, including the varied forms of compromised Christianity. The gospel of God's grace is the gospel of the cross. Grace refers to God's unmerited favor. Grace is truly God's riches at Christ's expense. It was on the cross that Jesus paid the full debt of the sin of the world. Jesus alone died on the cross. He alone paid the penalty of sin. In His dying breath, He said, it is finished, John 19:30. Nothing can be added to it. It is done. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. I call grace the great exchange. Jesus got all our sin, and we get all His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's a grace deal. In contrast to grace are the world's religions. Islam demands a system of good deeds, and for assurance, it demands jihad, dying as a martyr in holy war. Hinduism believes in karma, which determines what form you will assume in the next life. Shintoism, nature or ancestor worship, demands that one appease the spirits. Buddhism seeks to overcome desire through meditation techniques and thus attain nirvana, where one is free from all desire, and on. Common to all these religions is an objective based on self-effort and self-achievement. They are all the antithesis of biblical grace. However, even much of professing Christendom perverts the gospel of grace. One common way this is done is through sacramentalism. A majority of those who call themselves quote-unquote Christian hold to some form of this error that contradicts the true gospel of grace. This error says that sacraments, for example, baptism, are the means of receiving saving grace. When I got out of Bible college and started doing some deep reading on my own, I was shocked to learn that Martin Luther did not really hold to faith alone in Christ alone in the same sense as I did. Yes, on the one hand, he said he did, but his theology was full of double talk, as I discovered was typical of the mainline reformers on the issue of sacraments. Example, this is from the Large Catechism of Martin Luther, translated by Robert Fisher. Page 84, quote, hence it is well described as a divine, blessed, fruitful, and gracious water, for through the word baptism receives the power to become, quote, the washing of regeneration, as St. Paul calls it in Titus 3:5. Thus, faith clings to the water and believes it to be baptism, which there is sheer salvation and life. That's Martin Luther. That's Martin Luther in his Large Catechism. This is from Paul Enns in the Moody Handbook of Theology. He writes, this is page 453, quote, Luther's concept of baptism did not differ markedly from the Roman Catholic view. He retained much of the Roman ceremony connected with the rite. Luther taught that baptism is necessary to salvation and in fact produces regeneration in the person. There you go. Westminster Shorter Catechism reads, question 92, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. That's the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul summarized the gospel of grace. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He then went on to plead with the reader, quote, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Chapter 6, verse 1. But how does one receive this grace? In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He then says that the message of the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved, and that it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, that's the cross, to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 21. The cross is synonymous with the gospel of grace. Saving faith is in the finished work of Christ alone and not in any sacrament. The cross is the means of grace by which we are saved. The gospel of God's grace is that Christ died for our sins, that he rose again. Saving faith believes it. Charles Spurgeon said at the end of his life, my theology now is found in four little words. Jesus died for me. I don't say this is all I would preach if I were to be raised up again, but it is more than enough for me to die upon. This, my friends, is the gospel of grace. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.